Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Stay the course! We are dead! We are all dead!
We were supposed to make the world a better place. What happened?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I know Kung Fu.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
This whole thing is insane! This whole thing is insane!
300 years ago, you'd have been burned at the stake.
What do all men of power want? More power.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
This whole thing is insane!
Man is evil, capable of nothing but destruction!
Everybody is stuck with the things that they're not proud of.
More power.
Welcome to the desert. Of the real.
More power.
There can be only one.
Are you a God-fearing man, Senator?
That's such a strange phrase. I've always thought of God as a teacher, as a bringer of light, wisdom, and understanding. You see, I think what you really are afraid of is me.
Happy heresies, and welcome to the desert of the real. Heresy shouldn't be this much fun, but it is. It just is. Especially with the latest AB Live, audio version for thee and this eternal now. Esoteric researcher, modern Gnostic, and scientist Ola Wolny arrived at the virtual Alexandria with disturbing and amazing research. The Gnostics claimed that the stars and planets were a chief tool of the Archons. The Zodiac was nothing more than a code that determined humanity's fate, and that fate was always doom and destruction. Even our very DNA was imbued with tragedy and slave instincts. It seems that the Gnostics were utterly right, and much of ancient texts and myths point to this reality, from Babylonian cosmology to Hermetic lore. Just as bad, modern astrology is part of the Archonic Matrix, a psycho-spiritual trap that further slumbers the soul. How can we break this deterministic machine that traps both secularists and occultists? We mine the mystic ideas of the Gnostics and the promise of Sophia for solutions. Ola's insights will astound you, I assure you. As a bonus for you subs listening in audio, beyond the full heresy, I'm going to include a past interview with stellar author and researcher Michael Feely. His work parallels Ola's, but he focuses more on the Anunnaki and how their control system manifests in modern governments and other institutions. Don't miss it if you want to be liberated from this cosmic Westworld. We need Gnosis more than ever in this Age of Hermes, Philip K. Dick world, and Gnostic times. Expect more violence, wars, rising addiction and suicide rates, mass depression, and societal collapse until more look inward while breaking the outward spell of Yaldibaldi and his Epstein angels. You won't find this high-quality Gnostic and Hermetic wisdom, or many of my guests and their unique insights, anywhere else in cyberspace or even meat space. Don't forget my voiceover availability for any podcast, commercial, audiobook, documentary, or whatever. I'll bring you stellar results with down-to-home professionalism. Other than that, let us to our latest AB Live. Divided we stand, together we rise, and we're breaking the bonds of stellar fate.
The universe is deterministic. It's godless and neutral and defined only by physical laws. The marble rolls because it was pushed. The man eats because he's hungry. An effect is always the result of a prior cause. The life we lead, with all its apparent chaos, is actually a life on tram lines. Prescribed, undeviating, deterministic. I know it doesn't feel that way, Sergey. We fall into an illusion of free will because the tram lines are invisible. And we feel so certain about our subjective state, our feelings, our opinions, judgments, decisions. Then those decisions can only have been the result of something prior. Where you were born, how you were brought up. The physical construction of your particular brain. It's the nature-nurture matrix, exactly like the nematode worm in your simulation. It's more complex, more nuanced, but still. At the end of the day, cause and effect. I hope you understand what I'm saying, Sergey. You made no decision to betray me. You could only have done what you did.
Welcome, everybody, to AB Live, a branch of Aeon Byte. This is episode 99. Yes, 99 red balloons have gone by, and this is definitely a big red balloon, a big red pill, I would say. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your pompous of Gnosis. So welcome, everybody. I see people already going into the chat room. If you're wondering, Vance, our producer, had a last-minute work commitment, so he won't be joining us. So it probably means I will only be able to take questions that are super chats, but I will do my best, and I'm sure you guys will behave in the chat room. Take care of each other. But today I'm very excited to be joined here at the virtual Alexandria, as I call it, by Ola Wolny. Ola, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the invite. I'm really, really excited. And good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Yes, here is good afternoon, wherever you are. I guess it won't matter because we are in a construct. So yes, Ola, your ideas, as we talked about, are fascinating. I think there's a lot of innovation to them. And they are definitely very Gnostic and sort of fill in or really explain a lot of the ancient Gnostic ideas in a modern way, certainly in an esoteric way. So love your work and your message and what you're doing. So, but first of all, let's talk about your origin story. You're going from a Clark Kent to a Superman. How did you come into these domains of heresy?
Very, very good question. You probably might be surprised because I have a very matrix background. I am an oil and gas engineer by background. So I've worked for over 12, 14 years in the deep matrix, as I call it. So I've studied the engineering. So we kind of have that logical, analytical background very much going on there. And however, I would say that I've had a lifelong affair with the esoteric, with the mysteries, and that's been kind of in the background. However, finally, I think the events of the last 3 years kind of prompted me to come out of the closet properly, from the spiritual closet. And yeah. um, I, I've, I've you know, I've spent my life obviously looking a lot at the astrology, numerology, the code, right? I think that it's absolutely critical for us to understand exactly what we're dealing with. And I think that there's been a lot of great work out there, and there's a lot of people who obviously work with astrology. However, I was always lacking something there. I always felt a little bit like something doesn't make sense. And you see, when I think that the problem is that when people study astrology, they literally study off of something that's already out there. So nobody goes back to the basics, or not very many people. Very few people go back to the basics, and even less go back to the ancient texts. So this is kind of my background, which comes from, you know, the fact that I'm an engineer. I need to know everything, you know, 2 + 2 must be 4. And this is how we do things. So I just took that path of sort of going down to the source and taking it from there. And what I found there was, I think, very, very interesting. And, well, here I am now, you know, the heretic of astrology, because I'm going against the current. So I'm kind of in a way shunned by the sort of astrology community, because I've been kind of observing and calling out some of the things that I don't really think are the way people sort of see them or promote them. So that's the background. And I'm very, very excited to share some of those things with you.
Awesome. Yes. Let's the Gnostics were the heretics to the heretics. It looks like you are on your way. It's it's a good club to be in. These last few years, a lot of people pivoted, it's been, as I call this, the age of Hermes, because the insanity, the simulation seems to be breaking down. People have made their pivots and have just decided, this is my one life. This is my one message. I just got to go for it. And I more or less had the same journey as you. Well, why don't we get to the main event? You said, basically, what is wrong with astrology today, Ola?
I think that the problem is, and it's been obviously steered for centuries. So we have sort of two things going on with astrology. One is it's being ridiculed and it's being laughed at, right? Which is kind of one approach to get people away from it. Like, don't look there because you might find too much. That's one way, and that works. You know, probably 80% of people in the world will take that path. It's ridiculous. It's some kind of black magic or whatnot. You know, stay away from it. It's nonsense. We have free will, right? Everybody wants to think. And then you have the other sort of population, which is into it, which follows it. But this is where the question comes: what are we actually dealing with? So when you come at astrology, I think in the kind of traditional way, the path or the explanation is that this is something to do with our development. We are here. There are lessons. We are at school. We're learning. There's a very much evolutionary kind of feel to it. So astrology is very positive. It helps us grow. It helps us kind of evolve into the best version of ourselves. And, you know, me being the heretic, like you said, you know, I kind of question that, because I think that when you also get to a certain age, you kind of see that certain events in your life keep repeating themselves, or certain people keep coming in, certain situations keep happening, even though you are perfectly aware of them. You have done the work, you have done the healing, and that continues. So you kind of, you know, find yourself questioning, is the healing not working, or what is going on? What is causing this repetition? Why is it all the time the same stuff? And then you kind of see other people having similar experiences. So, so this is kind of where I came from. And obviously, then we have a lot of the teachings which say that, well, we are those great spirits, right? Coming down here, we're part of the God source, whatever you, however you want to call it. So if that's the case, why do I have to learn and evolve? Who's limiting us in the beginning so that later we have to learn and evolve? And you see, we are very much programmed. We're in Kali Yuga, so that's kind of normal, or just stepping out of there. But in Kali Yuga, being the sort of the lowest of the yugas, we are just programmed to believe that the only way to expand is through suffering. The only way to evolve is through suffering. And that's not true. Because when we had the golden age here, when we had the other yugas here, that was not the case. They would be expanding through development, through doing what their potential was about. And that also led to evolution. So why do we need to suffer? That's not a program. Where does it come from? No. So that was kind of my approach to it. And then I obviously landed, you know, in the origins. So I've been through the Sumerian, the Babylonian text, the Enuma Elish. I've read the creation myth of the Sumerians. I've been through the Vedas. I've been through the Gnostic text. Obviously, there's so much in there. And I'm kind of wondering, why isn't anybody connecting the dots with astrology here? It's not even hidden. It's in plain sight. If you have a little bit of astrology background, you really should be able to connect the dots here. And this is where it kind of all came to me, that what we are dealing with here is effectively, this is no school, this is not a mechanism of, you know, evolution. This is more like a prison. And you know, this is more like we're dealing with some kind of code, a cracked code to some kind of construct which we found ourselves in. That is astrology. That for real is astrology. It is the code. It is, and I call it the code to the matrix. And I've done a little bit of work, and I always try to illustrate things and make it, you know, easy to understand. So I've done a little bit of work to kind of show how I see it, which really ties back with the with the cosmology of most of the ancient cultures. So pretty much kind of takes you to wonder, what is it that the ancients were really trying to tell us?
Well said indeed. And yes, I have been arguing that we live in a prison planet, but and the evidence, like you, it hits you in the face. It's like an alcoholic realizing he's an alcoholic, and that's the good news. People go, yeah, well, that's terrible. I said, no, that's the good news, because now you see reality. But so you say that what people are practicing today is not real astrology, because you offer astrology service in your website, right? Or what's the issue with ancient and modern astrology?
Right. So there's a few things going on here. The way I look at astrology, I don't really offer, you know, astrology per se as a service, because I actually would love for people to understand what cards they've been dealt with. This is what I do. I show you the cards that you've been dealt with. I explain to you what you're dealing with, what you got in store for you from this construct, from this matrix. And this is in your astrology. So in order for us to really lift out of this, you first have to know what you're dealing with. You first have to know what kind of limitations, what kind of talents, what is it that you're dealing with here? And only then, obviously, you can kind of work with it. But ultimately, we should be raising above it. And that's the big question. How do you lift out of it? So this is part of my work. This is what I do. I kind of decode for you what kind of cards you've been dealt with and what do you do with them, how to best play them, and actually how to try to start moving out of the construct.
And this is through understanding, again, astrology. I mean, yeah, what you said makes perfect sense. The Gnostics and others, even the Hermeticists, wrote about how the stars are what imprison us. They're part of the mechanism that creates our fate, and our fate is always to be trapped in this world, to fall for our base desires, to never really look beyond the stars. And they wrote a lot, from the Valentinians to the Sethians to the Pisces Sophia, about how to break the stars, break the zodiac. I mean, there's one scene in the Pisces Sophia which makes me always really laugh, because Jesus, like some Superman, you know, like in the first Superman movie where he's changing time, he like flies up and he just tilts the zodiac just a few degrees, and that confuses the archons, but that allows more souls to escape. So basically the ancients, they knew that these stars were part of the code, and what was their takes? Let's talk about, let's say, the first real star map drawers, the Babylonians. What insights did you find from their work and their myths?
Well, first of all, if you think about the cosmology of pretty much every single culture, from the Incas through the Norse mythology, where obviously I'm here in the Arctic, the Maya, the Aztecs, the Egyptians, Babylonians, Vedas, everyone's cosmology was showing pretty much similar picture of something that we now interpret in the kind of mainstream narrative. We interpret that as a flat Earth. Whether that's a flat Earth or not, I don't think we need to kind of go into that discussion. That's a kind of a bit different discussion. However, overall, the picture is there's some kind of land, and over that land we have a firmament. So this is where the flat Earth came from, right? Okay. But what I'm saying is that the right interpretation? Is that what they were really trying to tell us? And when you look at the texts such as Pisces Sophia or even the Codex Hermeticum, right, both of them, and there is obviously a lot of similarities there, even if you throw in the Emerald Tablets, which talks a little bit, it kind of goes down instead of up, but still everything here is talking about the same structure, the same construct, which is ultimately firmament above, with some kind of spheres, some kind of levels, which, what do we do with it? How to understand it? Well, you know, me as an engineer working those texts out, the way I see it, including the Enuma Elish interpretation of the creation myth, to me, we are in a construct of some kind of other civilization that was here, someone that came here, right, which goes by the name Anunnaki or however you call them, archons. Ultimately, archons, they are using us, they are utilizing our energy, and by use of very advanced technology, this is how I see it, very advanced technology, they have managed to set some kind of construct above the space that we're in. I think it's almost like a biocapsule type of thing, where we are in a closed environment, the firmament above us, above which we have the technology, and that technology, literally some kind of artificial intelligence, whatever, is probably technology, you know, thousands years ahead of us, which no point even going into how it works. However, it's very clear from the Gnostic texts that the planets have been fashioned, so they've been sort of grasped into that kind of net. They've been given certain powers. And ultimately, those powers are exerted upon Earth. How? Well, this is where the mind control comes in, right? I mean, it's called mind control for a reason. Right. We also have chakras. What are the chakras for real? are we, you know, have we been implanted with some kind of receivers to this technology? Because obviously it's very clear in Hermetica, in PC Sophia, that and Jesus says that in PC Sophia, that there is no escape from fate, right? There's no escape from destiny, which means that ultimately, until you know what's going on, you will be under the influence of that mechanism. So how is it communicating? How is it working? Well, probably it is working through that technology, which is somehow connecting to us. And it's literally what we think is a free will is not so free, right? It's more like the result of some predestined codes. Mm-hmm. So here we are acting out. And mind you, I don't want to sort of make it so fatalistic and so bad. I don't think that everything is predestined because we are divine. So ultimately, we do have a connection with the source or something greater than this construct. This is why they are using us for energy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to suck the energy out of us because we wouldn't have it. So the question is, they are trying ultimately to make it impossible for us to connect to that divine spark. That's why we have all this control. And this is also how they take the energy out of us. And I always say that, you know, they kind of use two different routes for that. One of them being the passive one, which is the zodiac. So kind of steering your life, giving you the traumas in the childhood. So then you spend 40 or 50 years of your life stuck and acting out, you know, the unconsciously all those traumas and having all those kind of issues. And the active one, which is what we've seen, for example, over the last 3 years, meaning the fear campaign and all the false flags, etc., so that they just kind of navigate their agenda while we are steered into certain responses, certain behaviors, certain emotions. This is where I kind of arrived with this. And why am I talking about them taking our energy? Well, you see, you've obviously heard about the Anunnaki, the story of the Anunnaki coming here to mine for gold, right?
That's the story.
So you see, so I question that story because I don't believe for a moment that a highly advanced civilization is, whether it's flying or coming through some portal, so however, is coming here to this plane, and they need slaves to mine for their gold. It doesn't make any sense. If you have such advanced technology to even arrive here,
then
get on with it. You
it's
know,
like they're Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, I'm just coming for gold, and I need slaves. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you have such advanced technology, then use it for that. So why do you need human? And then we have to remember that these texts, they've been written thousands of years ago. They have been tampered with. They've been played with. They've been changed. And on top of that, we're dealing with translations. So could it be that the texts have been mistranslated into gold from the original? What is gold in Latin? Aurum, mm-hmm. Right? Aurum, aurum, however you want to pronounce that. How close to aura, the energy field? So was it originally aura that was meant, not aurum, gold? Yeah. As the metal. So perhaps the real meaning is, and this is what I'm advocating, they came for gold, which is aura, which is the energy. So they came to mine for energy, right? So they have to create some construct to be able to do it. And this is what they've done. The whole matrix construct, the firmament, what's above the firmament, and the constellations, specifically in Pisces Sophia, we have the Fate at the second sphere. We have the Aeons, which are corresponding to the 12 zodiac signs. So we have the 12 constellations. We have the planets that have been also caught in this net, so that their movements are ultimately steering this whole mechanism. And the effect is imparted upon us. This is the way that they are literally generating those emotions, those reactions, and sucking it sort of out of us. This is kind of where I arrived with this concept.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
No, it makes perfect sense that they are creating. Even we talked before the interview how your ideas of the code very much parallel the Pistis Sophia and the Secret Book of John, the idea of the counterfeit spirit. It's this programming that gets put in us before we are born, you know, as our spark falls into matter, and all our dooms and everything is sort of programmed into us. It's inside and outside. It's, again, right. This is good news. How bad it is, it's bad, but that's the good news.
And totally. And I think it's pretty clear in, specifically in Pistis Sophia, this is like a handbook for, you know, for this. It's amazing. You know, it's so clearly described that, so you kind of, you have two things going on here, right? You have souls that are already trapped here. No. And if those souls, and even Mary Magdalena, she talks about it, if you do not resurrect in life after death, forget it, it's too late. It's too late. It's not going to happen. So what does that mean? If you don't awaken, if you do not become initiated into the mysteries, right, of ultimately how to die so that you do not end up on the reincarnation cycle, which is clearly described both in the Hermetic text and in Pistis Sophia. If you come back, if you die and you go to the light, you come back on the reincarnation cycle, on the reincarnation loop, which throws you back on Earth. So this is that kind of loop that works under the firmament, if you like. So this is part of the working of this construct. Or some other souls, and this is what Jesus explains, right? They kind of are able to come from the outside and they know how to get out of here. So this is where we are. This is how it works. If you don't know how to get out of here, you will reincarnate back down here. This is what the I think it's in the Hermetic text. It's said that you will be tossed between heaven and earth forever. good perspective, right?
And again, yes, in eternal forgetfulness and all that. So basically, yes, I love what you're creating or what you're understanding. These entities, archons, Anunnaki, sometimes I call them cosmic programmers because they're not very sophisticated. They're just in charge. And then these other forces from beyond, Sophia, Jesus, Simon Magus, come and give us information, you know, like Morpheus, you know, hey, wake up, here's the red pill. Here's what do you feel that the elite or those in power in this earth know this secret and are working with these forces? Because there's a saying I always say, millionaires don't practice astrology, billionaires practice astrology, because they know that these rituals, whether it's 9/11 or rockets in the sky or you know, secret societies give them power. At least they can honor these beings, if you will.
Yeah, right. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. They know exactly what they're doing. I specifically went into the Babylonian astrology when I've noticed that the elites with the entertainment they served us over the past 3 years, they specifically followed some of the omens really? And some of the... Yeah. It was specifically from Babylonian astrology. Babylonian astrology is the, as I call it, this is the astrology of the elites. So if you really want to know what's coming, what they are planning, this is the astrology to follow. Not the Western, because the Western is using the tropical zodiac, which is stuck 2,000 years ago. It's not moving. It's not accounting for precession of equinoxes.
So it's outdated.
The sad thing is that unfortunately a lot of the tropical astrologers, they don't even know that this is the case, because they don't kind of understand the mathematics behind it. So, right. So they just kind of go along with what it means, what each sign means, and this is where we are. And then there's this explanation of it goes by seasons and not by constellations. What seasons? It's a zodiac that got frozen 2,000 years ago. So obviously we're talking about the Babylonian or the Vedic. It's the same principle, which is the ancient. This is the original, and it is accounting for precession of equinoxes. I mean, this is why we're talking about Age of Aquarius, right? Because of precession of equinoxes. So here we are. And just like you say, the elites absolutely know it. And the last 3 years, a perfect example of that, with the idea of, the pandemic, because it was specifically the energy in the ether, if you like, was very, very supportive towards that, which means that you didn't have to have any real pandemic. You didn't have to have any real crisis around that for people to buy into that. And that's what happened, right? And now the next cycle that we are in is to do with, well, this is actually specifically, we're talking about Mars and Scorpio, Mars, heliacal rising of Mars in Scorpio, which is to do with hostilities, wars. And here we are being presented with the idea that we have conflicts, right, in the world. And everybody's right. Buying into that, because that's the energy supportive of that kind of narrative. So they know exactly what's coming. They know exactly what you see. And mind you, this monkeypox nonsense, right? What happened to that? Where's the marketing team for that? It's not supported. You know, it's not supported anymore. It's not anymore. That's why it failed. There is no energy to support it anymore. So they had to move. Alongside with those cycles, they had to move into a new narrative, which is what we have now. So very absolutely clear that they are aware of it, and they are using it. However, the good news, is that the reason why, in my view, I'll tell you what I think. The reason why they are getting desperate. And there's a lot of things that are going on that are looking really, really scary, is because we kind of have three things going on right now. This is actually a really, really special time. And the Age of Aquarius is only a part of it. We have the end of Kali Yuga. Mm-hmm. We are leaving Kali Yuga right now. That coincides with the beginning of the Age of Aquarius. That energy is already upon us. And the third thing, and this is absolutely beautiful. The third thing is the fact that due to the precession of equinoxes, we have come to a point where at the winter, the sort of 21st of December, so... more or less at the solstice, but it kind of starts a little bit earlier. At that very, very special time, we have an alignment with the galactic center. Our sun has the alignment with the galactic center. The sun is a portal. So massive, original, beautiful energies of the original design for this space are coming in, and they are activating people, and they are also working with the energy of the planets and this planet specifically. So there's a lot of energy. So we're talking about convergence of three massive cycles here, and they know about it. And they fear it because, you see, they cannot do anything against it. They cannot fight against it. So what are they trying to do? They are trying with all their ideas to kind of utilize that energy for their purposes. But you see, you have people waking up and you have people not buying it. And I'm sorry, there will not be mass awakening, but there will be enough. But there will be enough people, you know, the cycles are the cycles. They will happen. So that's the good news.
Yeah, good news. And this is this year or
it's ongoing. This is not like specifically bound to a year, because obviously the precession of equinoxes, it's very, very slow. So right. We are in those bounds. We've been there for a decade. You see, when we're talking about the end of the world by the Mayans, right? 2012. That happens to kind of coincide with the Kali Yuga, end of Kali Yuga around that time. So probably they've been talking really effectively about the end of that era. Around the same time, we have this going on. So this is not a sort of distinct event, like 1 year and that's it. This is an ongoing energy. However, we are already in it. And they know it, and this is why they have an agenda for it, right? But I think the more people find out and sort of do what they have to do, what's your mission? What is it that you feel you came here for? This is the way to do it. And by the way, Age of Aquarius, it's not a man. The Aquarius is a. And from Pistis Sophia, right? And from the other Gnostic texts. This is the lady with the anointment jar.
It is, yes, yes. That is true. Good point. I love what you're saying. And yeah, as I often say in the show, this may not be the best time to be alive, but it's the best time to be awake. There are energies. And if you wake up, you'll finally break the cycle, not just the cycle with your relationships and parents and job, which we're all trying, but bigger cycles where we'll experience freedom and ecstasy and bliss and all these, and help others, find ways to help others wake up. So it's a hard time, but it's an exciting time. For the audience, again, Vance had a last minute work. He had to deal with his archons and his fate. Yeah. So no questions unless you super chatted, but everybody, there's about 100 people in the chat and everybody's behaving. So good job, Ola. They're paying attention to you instead of sometimes somebody, they'll get into an argument about something and infighting. So life is good. But what I wanted to ask, and I think these all your ideas are intriguing, but this one really got me because it answered so much. There was there's a mystic called Gurdjieff, and he came up with, he one time said, we are food for the moon, and nobody figured it out. I've had guests who've written biographies who said, what is it? He's like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. He just said one time, we are the food of the moon. But your ideas on the moon being the fake Venus are really amazing. Could you share the audience, share with the audience about
this? Absolutely. So Back to Enuma Elish, one of the texts which I think pretty clearly states that the moon is a fake construct. It's not real. Even if you sort of take the science out of it, right? Because the science itself doesn't make sense. Like, how is it possible that something that's supposedly natural is absolutely the same size as the sun, sort of given the distances? And then we have the eclipse, which is perfect. And it's just a lot of things which clearly show that, something is off here. You know, you cannot have a natural phenomena where it's so perfectly synchronized with the movement of the earth, etc., that we never get to see what's on the other side. I mean, nothing makes sense here. So in the ancient texts, it's pretty clearly stated that this is a fake construct. It's been placed in place by the Archons as they were fashioning the whole construct, the whole matrix construct, as I call it. And you see, back and this is where we kind of going back to the better days, to perhaps the golden age, or closer to the times before the Archons came and took control here. It's pretty clear that back in the day, back in previous eras, it was Venus that was followed. And Venus also holds, that's the whole story of PC Sophia. You see her being sort of just under the 13th Aeon, but not of the other Aeons. What does it mean? Well, it means that where the Archons came and they tried to create this construct, and they tried to grab the planets to serve them as a part of this construct and to kind of give them certain powers, so that they work as part of that system. Venus, they were not able to do that with her. They were not able to force Venus to kind of work for them. Venus is the twin sister of Earth, and she continued to, they were trying, this is where we get this whole chasing and trying to intimidate PC Sophia in the Aeons. This is literally a parallel to the Archons trying to catch Venus and kind of get her to work for this matrix, but she does not do that. And again, what is Venus, and what is the why Venus and the feminine? Here is back to the feminine, and here is back to the Aquarius, and now the era of Aquarius. So why Venus? Venus held mysteries of how to die, to get out of here. And all these cultures before us, they were following Venus. They knew exactly. You have the Mayans following Venus. You have all the cultures following Venus. It's very, very clear. What later became the worship of the moon was originally worship of Venus. Maybe not worship is not a good name. However, that's where it came from. So Matrix knew, or the Archons knew, that Venus holds these mysteries, and that was literally written in her movements. Her movements are very, very specific around the sun. There's a lot of wisdom that you can, if you know how to decode it, there's a lot of information when Venus goes into retrograde, and there's a very specific period that she goes into retrograde for, the 40 days, which are very often mentioned in the Bible, right? The 40 here, 40 there. So when she goes into retrograde, or even whenever she actually starts approaching the sun, she becomes invisible. What is that? This is the parallel to the descent to the underworld, Inanna's descent to the underworld, the mystery of that. What does that mean? What is that about? This is what they changed, the story that they changed so much. The current version of Inanna's descent to the underworld is not what it was before. So Venus held in her movements and in her wisdom the Pistis Sophia. I mean, that is the parallel to Venus, right? She holds the mysteries of life and death. And the Archons knew that. And on top of that, they couldn't control her. They tried, but they couldn't. They caught her in a net. So ultimately, she was caught in the net. That's why in Pistis Sophia, this is explained as Sophia has been sort of under the 13th Aeon, right? She's kind of not of the 12, but she's not in her original place either. So what they knew is that they couldn't control it. The only thing that they could do is that they could replace it. They could try to shift the attention from where it originally was to something else that was working for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the moon comes. So the moon gets created, And you see, obviously now probably I will piss off a lot of women who are perhaps very connected to the moon, and they think that these are the moon mysteries and all the...
The witches dancing under the moon.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, it was never the moon that the witches, the true ones, you know, witches, the meaning the wise women, that's not what they were ever worshipping. It was never the moon.
The counterfeit Venus. It's a construct.
It's absolutely so. So the fact that, for example, our the feminine cycle, right? It's kind of the 13, the number 13 coming up all the time. Well, the number 13 actually comes from Venus, and the fact that a woman has 13 cycles in a year, and every month, right? She has her cycle. I mean, think about it even from a logical point of view. When you look at nature, what other animals, even while looking at nature, is there any animal who is able to produce more slaves? Let's call it what it is. 12 times a year. I'm sorry, but this is what they want. This is what they want, and this is not nature. This is the construct. With animals, it's much easier, because when they are in heat, this is when they can obviously have, they can get pregnant. But right. With women, it's the opposite. Everything is inverted, very right? Different. Yeah. Very different and very difficult. So what does it do? It makes women uncomfortable. It makes women scared. It takes away all the pleasure and all the magic, because women don't know what's going to happen. So you see why this beautiful mystery has been rid of all these beautiful aspects. Is that nature? This is not nature. And this is connected to the moon. You see, very often in the artwork back from the day, you will see the horns, right? The horns, or the sort of crescent moons, and they will say, oh, this is the crescent moons, because those goddesses from back then, they were worshipping the moon. They were not worshipping the moon. The crescent moons, as we call them now, because we think it's the moon, that was Venus. Venus has phases. Venus has phases. So the fact that moon has phases comes from the fact that Venus has phases. Venus is the one that you can actually see as the crescent moon, as she moves around the sun and as she dances with the earth. So the whole idea of phases comes from Venus. People don't know that. This is the same. So those crescent moons are not moons. This is Venus.
Wow. Did you hear that? No more howling at the moon. No more barking at the moon. No more.
Well, you see, that's interesting, because the howling to the moon, very good, because we think that when the wolves howl to the moon, it's such a great thing, because it's the full moon. In the witches' tradition, the wise women, and this is kind of wisdom that's still repeated amongst women, especially the older one, if they kind of still know this oral tradition, they say that whenever the wolves howl at the moon, it's to scare it away, because they know that the moon steals the soul.
Wow, that makes sense. Yeah, that's like the Saint Gurdjieff. Yes.
Yeah.
Devouring. Yeah.
Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. And even in PC Sophia, right, the moon is mentioned as part of the matrix mechanism, part of the, and specifically where is it present? For reincarnation. This is the part of the reincarnation machine.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, and the other thing too, I had talking to a friend, and he did some research, and I remember him telling him, and you know, I did this research of comparative mythology, and most deities associated with the moon are male, and I'm like, but that makes no sense. The moon is so feminine, but the reality is the ancients knew it was part of the whatever. The male force, the oppressive male force. So basically there was a time where women could basically regulate their fertility at will. It's a sink, because I was looking at a show with a guest, Marguerite Rigaglioso, and she's done this research how not only was there an ancient time where women could control their fertility, but they could actually conceive. You know, there are And they could conceive these godmen or these great messiahs, and they lived in the temple and just meditated 24/7 and ate well, and they would bring out these heroes. And Jesus might have been one of these heroes that Mary brought out, because they're very enlightened, they're very powerful, they don't have the effects of fate, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we're talking about. And even up to the 70s, especially in the indigenous cultures, in the ones that were always living a little bit closer to the nature, away from the matrix, women could still regulate their cycles. So they were still able to control it. And now, unfortunately, there is just too much of the technology above us that it's very, very hard for women to be able to steer away from it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very, very important as a first step to understand that, unfortunately, there is nothing good about connecting to the moon, paying any attention to the moon. Not great. You know, I do not follow any full moons, etc., which most astrologers do. I don't. There's nothing good about it. You know, this is part of the matrix construct. If you pay attention to it, you're feeding it. So you're giving it what it wants. It wanted your attention. It has your attention. And you don't even know about Venus. So here it is. And Venus holds the mysteries of how to get out of here.
Yeah, very true. Follow Venus, guys and ladies. So it's interesting because in the Bible, when Eve gets punished by the demiurge, she, you know, you're going to have cramps and periods are going to be painful. So basically what he did, he didn't really curse her. He just built the moon to punish Eve.
I mean, ultimately, right? That's another story. It's absolutely. It's part of the. It's another big story because of the whole feminine, right? What happened with the feminine? Why did the Archons went after feminine? And then you kind of go back to the story of Inanna and Enki, right? She and her powers. She had those powers which are explained in the story of Inanna, and Enki took them away. And mind you, the story is written by the victors, not by the losers, right? So we have to always take those stories with a pinch of salt because they've been already tampered with. And so what does it really mean? It means that we have the male gods, we have the patriarchy coming in, taking away something that belongs to women. There are feminine mysteries that are being taken away, and the men are trying to overtake them, trying to practice them. They cannot practice them because, you know, some things can be unfortunately done only by women. The inversion, look at the inversion going on today. Look what's happening, right? I mean, look as this agenda is progressing. Why? Because they know that the age of Aquarius is the age of women remembering their mysteries. Mm. Women remembering, I don't want to say power, because, you know, do not ever associate that with the feminist, because that is a controlled movement. I'm talking the real deal. I'm talking the ancient mysteries. Even the Cathars, they said when the last sort of the Cathar leaders was burnt at stake, he said that in 808 years, the Cathars will start to sort of being born, reborn again. Those back then will be coming back now. The time is now. They are already amongst us. So, and they know the mysteries. You know, they already know the mysteries from back those times, right? So those mysteries are coming back. And the elites, they know about it.
They know.
So, you know, the Twin Towers you mentioned before, right? The 9/11. So the 9/11 were two towers. And of course, it was more objects that were bombed, right?
Yeah.
At the time. So but the Twin Towers, and you know, you always have to look, we have to look, go and look past the money, past the politics. It was never about that. These people are doing occult rituals here. So the two towers, the twin towers, if you look at the tarot, the two towers is the priestess card, right? The priestess is the lady sitting between two sort of pillars. These are the two towers. And the priestess in the tarot is the Pisces Sophia. This is a ritual. Everything that's happening. And then we have in France, Notre Dame, right? Taking down of the Notre Dame. What's Notre Dame? Our Lady.
Our Lady.
Back to Mary Magdalene. They know exactly who's coming back here and what is coming back. And they're trying to maybe not prevent it, but there's a lot of occult things going on, which is playing and tampering with the energy, trying to maybe detour things, they cannot stop it, but they are trying to start to control it. You see the agenda of literally gender inversion. What's going on right now? Men becoming female, right? Feminine, etc. Not to mention that we get now, I'm sorry if I'm politically incorrect here, you will have to maybe take it down, but I just have to tell the truth, because this is why it's happening.
And there you have it, you shining crazy diamonds. Ola is surely a rising star in the esoterica and modern gnosis. In our second part, she gets passionate as she shares solutions to break the bonds of fate. As a bonus for you subs listening in audio, as I mentioned in the intro, and beyond the full heresy, I am going to include a past interview with stellar author and researcher Michael Feely. His work parallels Ola's, but he focuses more on the Anunnaki and how their control system manifests in modern governments and other institutions. Don't miss it if you want to be liberated from this black iron prison. Please support this Red Pill Cafeteria if you find any value in the content. It will cost you less than $1 per episode, and that's a deal of many lifetimes. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.